Well, good afternoon, Blades fans. Unfortunately, the unbeaten run is over, but the good news is United could be back in the playoffs as early as tomorrow night. James, I suppose it was bound to come to an end at some stage. What did you make of that game against Millwall last week?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think when you look at the schedule that Sheffield United have been forced to adhere to over the past 20-odd days or so, I think it was inevitable that there would be the odd little hiccup along the way. I think when you look at the calibre of the opposition that they've been forced to play during that schedule as well, I think it was inevitable there was going to be a hiccup along the way. They've had to invest an awful lot, not just physically, but mentally, into their performances. All credit to them, I think, for keeping the unbeaten run going for so long at this stage of the season. I think going 9 matches unbeaten, listen, that's an achievement at any point of a campaign, but I think especially when the whole sort of mental dynamic of a season changes, when players know there's so much riding on every single result, I do think they've done ever so well to do that. In terms of what I thought from the performance, I think it just showed it was a team that I thought looked mentally shattered. There's no point in getting more scientific about it than that. I think Millwall are a very good team. They're a very organised side. They're a very physical side. And they're very pragmatic because they do what they're set up to do very, very well. No surprise to see Jake Cooper scoring. I think that was probably about his 900th goal in about 1,000 appearances against Sheffield United. But I just thought the fact that Sheffield United didn't really get going during the game, they didn't have their usual sort of vibrancy and attacking verve. No matter what they tried, no matter who they brought on, they struggled to make a real impression on the game. So just to sort of summarise, really, 2 points for me. 1, well done to Millwall, good team. 2, Sheffield United, I just thought, looked like a team that was in need of a real, real break. And Paul Heckingbottom touched on that, actually, during his pre-match press conference ahead of Friday's game against Forest, when he admitted that he's given the players a little bit of time off to do anything other than play football and think about football.
Yeah, it does feel like it's been a really intense period when you actually think it was a Saturday, Tuesday or Saturday, Wednesday for a good few weeks. Kieran Gordon, 1 positive though?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I thought it was a real show of faith, actually, from Paul Heckingbottom and his coaching staff to pitch Kieran into the game against Millwall, because I know sometimes it gets over-egged a little bit. I know, you know, the crowd at Millwall, listen, it's not as intimidating for a game against Sheffield United as it would be for, say, like a London derby or a match against other teams, some other teams that we can think of from the north, and we won't go into the reasons as to why that is. But going to Millwall is a test of character for even an experienced footballer, let alone a young lad making his league debut. So I think full credit for Kieran for proving and convincing the manager and his assistant Stuart McCall that he was ready to do that. But do you know what? I think in a sense it wasn't such of a brave decision, and I mean that with all due respect to Paul Heckingbottom, as it perhaps appeared, because you know Kieran had already played against Wolves in the FA Cup, a very, very strong Wolves side, a Wolves side that was going really well at the time. I thought he came through that test really well. We all know he's a really good player. We all know that he can play in a number of positions, and I think that is something that may well see the lad become increasingly important for Sheffield United over the coming weeks. Because, as we all know, injuries are becoming a real issue at Bramall Lane right now. I personally think injuries are perhaps the biggest threat that Sheffield United face to their playoff hopes, because form-wise, ability-wise, talent-wise, certainly think they're good enough to get in there, providing they can keep a fully fit starting 11 on the pitch, and I think we're beginning to see perhaps as George Baldock going or requiring treatment against Millwall, that there's some players that are having to play at the minute that perhaps ordinarily would be rested. So there is an issue there. But Chiron, I think the very fact that he's around the starting 11 at the minute, that tells you he's got the talent. That tells you that he's a player of real ability. I think the thing that has really impressed me about Chiron, and dare I say it as well, that has clearly impressed Paul Heckingbottom, is his personality. I thought he stood up to that really well. He did lots of good things against Millwall. He did a few things wrong, as you would expect, and as others did as well, with a lot more matches on their CV. But one of the things I really liked, I really enjoyed watching him do, was particularly at the start of the game, was demanding the ball when he was under pressure. That shows that he's got good technical skills. He's comfortable in possession. But also organising the players around him, telling the likes of John Egan where to go on the pitch, you know, that there was a danger possibly appearing somewhere out there on the field of play. That gave you a little insight into Chiron's character, and I thought that was really, really encouraging to witness.
It takes a sort of brave man to be barking orders at John Egan as well.
Yeah, and do you know what, Steve, as well? He did it in a way, though. It reminded me, and I'm not comparing the two characters. They're very different players. They're at different stages of their sort of career almost as well, and they're operating at very different levels in different positions. But it almost reminded me of the fact that I remember a game not so long back when Sheffield United were still in the Premier League and they went down to Chelsea. And Billy Gilmore came on towards the end of the game. It was a big noise at the Chelsea Academy, probably a bigger noise than Chiron's been at Sheffield United's Academy, if I can say that. And one of the things that really stood out about Billy was that, you know, you saw him come on, and again, he was doing that, organising people around him. Again, like Chiron, he was demanding the ball. I think young players need that to make an impression in the game in these days. It's great to see as well, because you hear so much criticism of youngsters now saying that, you know, they can't stand up to the more mentally demanding side of the games. They're not as mentally tough as they were in the old days. And boring old farts like me probably drone on about that far too often. But people like Chiron, people like Billy have shown that that's something that we just sort of moan about in the pub of a weekend with our mates, really. They've obviously got that toughness that it takes to go on and have a good career. More importantly as well, and this was really nice to see, they didn't do it in that sort of cocksure way that makes you think there might be a problem with this lad at some point down the line. He might get a little bit of ahead of himself. They did it in a really respectful but forceful way.
Good to hear. Well, we'll come on to Forest because it's good to look ahead. But you've mentioned their injuries. Obviously, you've got Baldock playing on the left. The striker options are thin on the ground at the minute. Just how hard is it getting for Paul Heckingbottom to basically stick his first choice starting 11 or something close to that out there?
Well, I don't think... I mean, Paul would... And I understand why he does it. Paul would probably say, if he was on this call now, I actually don't have a first choice starting 11 because I've got a squad in ordinary circumstances that's big enough and talented enough to be able me to select a game depending on the strengths and weaknesses of the opposition. I understand why managers say that. They want to keep players engaged. They want to keep them involved in the season. Personally, I don't believe a word of it. I think every manager has got a first-choice starting 11. Paul Heckingbottom can't play that at the moment. Rhian Brewster's out injured for the season. I think the form he was showing before he succumbed to that hamstring problem would have made him a definite starter. Ender Stevens is out of the side still. Ben Osborne is out of the side still. David McGoldrick is out for the season. Jaden Bogle, who is in great form, he's out for the season. So I don't think Paul can play his first choice starting 11 if he would admit to having one of those. But it's not just the physical side that I think is becoming an issue. I think it's that mental side of things as well. So I wasn't surprised to hear Paul say that he told his players just to get away from the training ground after that match at Millwall. I think it's been really tough, actually, almost covering this period, because it's been a constant conveyor belt of doing games, then into another press conference, doing games, into another press conference, and finding different things to ask Paul and whichever player is put up. I can only imagine how difficult it's been. There's not been a physical side of that, but it's been mentally quite taxing for the likes of I and some of my sort of colleagues elsewhere on the patch. So it will have been 10 times as mentally tiring for Sheffield United's players to be able to do that, because they've also been having to go out there and actually play a game of football as well. So I think it is becoming a real, real issue as well. It wasn't helped by Charlie Goode sending off against Blackburn Rovers. That has put even more pressure on the squad. That was why Kieran actually obviously came into the starting 11 at the Den. But there is no doubt, to my mind, and I'll say it again, I think that injury situation is the biggest threat to Sheffield United's chances of qualifying for the top six. I think as well, they possibly should have done a little bit more business during the transfer window. I've touched on that in my column this week, actually. We all knew that this period in the fixture calendar was going to be really, really grueling. I get that there's obviously financial issues to take into consideration. I don't want to see Sheffield United overstretch themselves in the transfer market. I do just wonder, though, if, and I don't even think this is with the benefit of hindsight, I do just wonder, though, if it was the right thing to only bring one outfield player in to boost that squad ahead of what everybody knew, because the postponements that have led to this fixture pile-up had already been made, that I think they possibly needed just one or two more bodies, experienced bodies, to ideally see them through this period. I just hope it doesn't come up to, I hope it doesn't sort of catch them up going forward. I hope it doesn't really, really begin to hijack all of the good things that are taking place on the pitch right now at Sheffield United.
Well, it doesn't seem to be any immediate sort of returns for players for tomorrow night, which again is, a 6-day turnaround. So even though they've had a sort of a week off in the week, they're still sort of losing a day. Paul Sikora says, I hope you're both okay. He's tipping them to win 3-0 at home tomorrow night. Forest, I think as far as Forest is concerned, there's a good case to make for them being the most improved team within the season itself. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I absolutely get where you're coming from. And thank you very much for that, Paul, by the way. I'm certainly okay. I think you are, Steve, as well, aren't you, after you've got over your man flu. you're sniffing there. Was that just for effect, by the way?
Just in case Chris Holt's watching.
No, but back to Forest. I wouldn't disagree, because they're below Sheffield United in the table now, but like Sheffield United, they're pushing for a place in the playoffs. Like Sheffield United, you wouldn't be at all surprised if Forest got in there as well, because I think not only that battle for sixth place, I think it's all on if you eat even further into those playoff positions. I don't think there's too many teams in there at the moment that are entirely safe and can entirely start planning for the end of season knockouts. Steve Cooper's done a brilliant job there. Absolutely no doubt about that. And I think Paul Heckingbottom has done a brilliant job too as well. Absolutely no doubt about that. So, yeah, possibly Forest just edge it in terms of the most improved side. But I don't think Sheffield United would be too disappointed to give up that particular prize, because all it means is that Forest was starting from, as I've said, a much lower base, a much lower position in the Championship table. And, you know, even when Sheffield United were struggling under Slavisa Jokanović, I don't think there was ever any danger of them going down. I was more concerned about the season just sort of drifting into nothingness, if indeed that's even a word, than I was about a relegation. I think it's interesting as well, though, because one thing that Steve and Paul do have in common, one thing that their respective teams do have in common as well, and I think this is one thing that they've both really brought to the job, is a real identity. I think they're both very invested in bringing young players through. I think they've both got a way of playing. I think you both know roughly, even though personnel might change. So is my cat there just getting in on the shot as well. He's come to listen. You both roughly know the approach that Forest and United are going to take towards a game. There is a sense of identity there. And I think unless you've got fortunes to spend and you can just go out and select the best players available in any given position, I think that's something that's essential for success in football these days. So I think that's really good to see. And credit to both managers for doing that. And credit to both sets of players as well for taking that on, taking that on board and actually executing those plans for the identity of the teams that Stephen and Paul have brought on. I think just as well, another point that Paul made there earlier when he messaged in, Sheffield United to win. Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I'm not so sure I'd go for a 3-0 win, but I think it's certainly a game that Sheffield United can win.
Yeah, obviously, Heckenbottom hinted a gung-ho approach, as you put it. Was it a bit of bluffing, do you think, or could you anticipate some changes just off the back of that defeat? And like I said, just to try and keep a few people fresh.
Yeah, I think there will be some changes. Hopefully unenforced rather than enforced changes. George Baldock was one of the players we mentioned earlier. He's required treatment this week, and it turned out that Conor Hourihan as well has been receiving treatment when Sheffield United returned to the training ground. We didn't actually realise that he'd received a knock down at Millwall, but he's obviously carrying some problem of sorts. Hopefully both of those players recover. But I think even then, I think Paul might just look to freshen things up a little bit, as much to give it that sort of mental lift as much as anything else. He's talked about the form of Illiman and Dyer, wanting to get him back on the goal trail. He's also talked quite interestingly about pairing him again with Morgan Gibbs-White and saying that's an option. I think Morgan Gibbs-White will definitely come back into the starting 11. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I wouldn't be surprised to see Sander Berge come back into the starting 11 either. I've been one of Sander's big critics over the course of his stay at United. I don't think he's imposed himself on games as much as he should have done. But as much as I've been critical of him, I will say that's because it's critical for the right reasons, because you can see there's a player there who can do so much more and is capable of doing so much more than he has been doing. So I think he'll come back in. I think a game ago, I think Forest is the type of opposition as well that he's really suited to playing against. The other one that I do just wonder if this is going to be the type of game where Paul brings Daniel Jebison into the starting 11. I know there's been a big clamour for him to play. I get why. He was scoring goals on loan at Burton Albion. Reading between the lines of what Paul and Stuart McCall also said this time last week when Sheffield United preparing to go down to London, I don't think the coaching staff feel he's quite ready to lead Sheffield United's line just yet. And they won't want to take, despite the fact that Paul can be quite bold in terms of his team selections and the way that he sets United up, I don't think they'll want to take too many gambles with inexperienced players at this stage of the season, because they are competing for really high stakes. But I do just wonder if this is the type of game that he might look to give Daniel a more prominent role in. be that off the bench or possibly even starting. I think what he will have to do, though, is balance that up against the possible effect that it could have on Ollie McBurnie's confidence. Ollie's been struggling, there's no doubt about it, in terms of his touch in front of goal since he's come back into the side. He obviously had some health issues with tonsillitis and COVID-19 over the Christmas and New Year period that have affected him. I think he's contributed to the team in other ways, but ultimately strikers are judged by their goals, so he needs to start scoring. But it's interesting. Paul has been very keen to almost place a sort of a protective arm around Ollie's shoulder in recent weeks. He's obviously a player that he likes. He's a player that he's convinced can score goals at this level, and rightly so, because he can, and I think he will. So I do just wonder, though, if this might be a game where he brings Daniel Jebison into the side. But as I say, I think he's going to have to balance that up with the possible effect that it might have on Ollie's mindset, because it would be a setback for him to lose his place in the starting 11 to a teenage player. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Players will tell you all the right things and tell you differently, again, if he was sat on this podcast, but I think it would be. I think it would be a lot easier to lose your starting place to sort of Billy Sharp or David McGoldrick or even Morgan Gibbs-White, for example, than it would be Daniel Jebison. But, you know, Ollie's a good team player. I think if that does happen, he'll make sure Daniel's prepared. And ultimately, Paul Heckingbottom's going to pick a team that he feels is the right team to win the game. So if he thinks Ollie's the right player for this match, he'll select him. If he thinks Daniel's the right player possibly to start this match, then he'll select him and then look to sort of, you know, explain to Ollie McBurnie why afterwards.
It's something I hadn't considered, actually, the effect that might have on McBurnie and his state of mind. But have you been a little bit surprised that we haven't seen more of Jebison since he came back?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I didn't think that there was going to be any point, personally, in recalling Daniel unless he was going to play on a really regular basis. And so, in a sense, if you look at it through that sort of, if you look at his situation through that particular lens, then it has been a little bit disappointing for Daniel. I think he will have come back and expected to play more as well. But then, when you consider the bigger picture, I don't think Sheffield United had any other choice, really. I think that they obviously allowed Lees Moussai to move to Italy on loan. I think there were various things they took into consideration when they did that. Get him off the wage bill, or certainly get a portion of his wages off the wage bill. Potentially look to make him a more saleable asset when the transfer window reopens this summer. And I don't think there's no point in dressing it up. If Paul Heckingbottom and Stuart McCall and Jack Lester hadn't run out of patience with Lees, then he wouldn't have been leaving Bramall Lane in the first place. But I think numbers, they needed to bring Daniel back. But it's clearly been a big step up for him. Paul Heckingbottom has touched on that in his pre-match press conference. In fact, he said explicitly it's Daniel's found it a big step up from training with a League One club to training with a club that's competing at the top end of the Championship. But I'm sure he'll play. I'm absolutely sure he'll play between now and the end of the season. Listen, the way Sheffield United are collecting injuries at the moment, he'll probably be leading the line in the space of a fortnight.
We'll see. I've got to ask you, this is a big one. Middlesbrough, Tuesday night. This already feels like, obviously, it's a big game for both teams because they're both in and around the playoff hunt, but Chris Wilder's returns at Bramall Lane. Have you had a chance to think about this one yet?
I'd be lying if I said not entirely, but as I said, it's just been such a fast turnaround in games recently, not as much as probably ordinarily would have been the case. And this match against Forest is just as huge. I mean, you know, this game is just as important. Middlesbrough only becomes a really, really big game if Sheffield United beat Nottingham Forest. But it's going to be great to see Chris Wilder back at Bramall Lane. I'm sure he'll get a wonderful reception. In fact, I know he'll get a wonderful reception. He achieved an awful lot, more than possibly any or most other Sheffield United managers having the job during his time at Bramall Lane. Two promotions, took over a club that was in a coma when he arrived, and grabbed it by the scruff of the neck and gave it a real identity, gave it a real sense of purpose, and also gave it two promotions, or helped it win two promotions, and then on to a ninth place finish in the Premier League. Let's not forget about that. Sheffield United were probably the most talked about team in the country before the first national lockdown because of COVID. And I'm absolutely convinced still that Sheffield United would have qualified for Europe had that break in the season not happened. They obviously didn't recover from that. Things went downhill since then. But listen, Chris is proving what a really good manager he is at Middlesbrough now. So many similarities between the things that he's doing at Middlesbrough and the things that he achieved at Bramall Lane. Paul Heckingbottom has made a I wouldn't say an equally big impact yet, because he's not got that promotion under his belt at United, but he's made a huge impact. It's two managers who will have a great deal of respect for each other. Paul Heckingbottom, of course, arrived at Bramall Lane at Chris Wilder's behest to take charge of the club's under-23s side. I know Paul was desperately disappointed when Chris left last season. The Sheffield United were sort of on their way towards being relegated from the Premier League. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be a great occasion. I think Chris will get, as I've said, a wonderful reception, both behind the scenes, possibly not in the boardroom, but certainly behind the scenes in the boot room, before and after the match. But during it, there'll be no friends, because, you know, these are two hugely, hugely competitive individuals that will be in the dugout on Tuesday night. So they certainly won't be friends during the game. But when you put all of those things together, it's going to be a big crowd. Hopefully Sheffield United are coming into it on the back of a win. When you look at the situation in the Championship table, when you look at what both teams are going for, I just think it's going to be a wonderful game. It's going to be a wonderful occasion.
Two great games to look forward to. I think that wraps us up for this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.